Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. We hear the cries, our government is out of control. What was once wrong is now okay, and what was right is now wrong. To get this upside down, people have to believe some awful lies. Today, four of these lies and what believing them leads to. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on The Church in Babylon, unleashing the power of a spirit-filled witness. Here is Dr. Lutzer with more of When Darkness is Called Light and Light Darkness.
I know that America is not Israel, but sometimes there are interesting parallels. It is true that in our history as a country, the Judeo-Christian influence was huge, and now we've turned away from all that, consciously so, as this message will point out. Now, here's what I'd like to do, and thank you for giving me permission to do it, though, as I frequently say, I do it whether I had your permission or not. And that is, I'm going to give you four lies that a nation gladly believes in the process of turning light into darkness and darkness into light. Nations cast about saying, I want these lies. Where can I find them? Well, I've isolated four of them, and we're only going to look at a few verses from the book of Jeremiah. Obviously, I'm not going to be going through verse by verse or chapter by chapter. You can read that on your own. But here are the lies. Number one, the consequences of our rebellion can be managed. It isn't that serious if we leave the Lord, because we can handle whatever happens as a result of our rebellion. They said we can handle it politically. God says, you see, Babylon is going to come and he's going to destroy all of you. And eventually that happens. That's why this series is so important. We're going to weep with Jeremiah when that happens. But you'll notice what the Lord says in verse 17 now. I'm in chapter 2, verse 17. Have you brought this upon yourself, God says, by forsaking the Lord your God. And now what do you gain by going to Egypt? And later on he says going to Assyria. Assyria was a world power but was diminishing. So the folks of Judah thought, we can actually become allies with Assyria against Babylon or Egypt. They'll help us. So they turned to politics to deliver them. Now I have to say that politics is very important. I was in Washington about 2 weeks ago, and one of our congressmen said this to a few of us. He said, you know, you expect us to enact righteous laws and value-driven laws here in Washington. How can we do that unless you send us people with those kinds of values? And I thought, you know, he really has a point here. Wow, yeah, how can we expect righteousness and righteous laws to come from Washington in light of who we send to Washington? Politics is important, but it isn't all important. When God wants to judge a nation, no political party can keep off that judgment. That's what God is saying here as he tells the people, you think you can handle it by depending upon another country. So they thought that they could handle the consequences of their disobedience politically, but also individually. You'll notice he says in verse 22, though you wash yourself with lye and use much soap, the stain of your guilt is still before me. They thought we can take care of our sin by some home remedies. All that we need to do is to look at it externally and think to ourselves, we can take care of our own consciences. We can take care of the stain that is in our hearts. We can do all that on our own because we know that we can wash our own hearts with the water that is, figuratively speaking, within our own hearts. And today, of course, we have many different ways that people try to handle their sin and mitigate the consequences, whether it's through drugs or alcohol. whether it's through pleasure, in some way or another, the consequences of our individual disobedience, those consequences are masked, and we want to believe the lie that sin isn't nearly as serious in its consequences as God clearly says it is. Lie number one. We can handle the consequences. Lie number two, if we follow our rebellious desires, if we leave the living God, we achieve freedom. In fact, that's what it says in verse 31 of chapter 2. And you, O generation, behold the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness to Israel or a land of thick darkness? Why then do my people say, we are free? We won't come into you anymore. We don't need God. We need freedom. And so they thought to themselves it was freedom. But was it really freedom? No. It was a kind of bondage that you don't notice at the beginning, but as you go along that road, you discover that all of the results begin to come in. For example, in chapter 2, I'm actually now backing up in verse 25, where it says, keep your feet from going unshod and your throat from thirst. But you said, it is hopeless, for I have loved foreigners, that is foreign gods, and will go after them. The problem is now they are driven by these foreign gods. They become heavy users. They discover that these foreign gods, they promise like a god, but in the end they pay like the devil, and they discover that they are deceived. So the idea that if we cast off God's restraints, as it says in Psalm 2, let us cast aside their restraints, our restraints. Well, you know what the next verse says in Psalm 2? He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. And today we are being told that the real path to freedom is the path to do our own thing apart from God's law, and the result is an addictive society. And the people also said that we can be free religiously. We don't need God anymore. Look at what it says there in verse 27. They're saying to the idols, you are my father, and to a stone, you gave me birth, for they have turned their back to me and not their face. Well, that phrase in itself is worthy of an entire message. But in time of trouble, they will say, arise and save us. They'll say, we can rebel against God, but in the end, when things are really bad, we'll just cry up to God and we'll expect him to come through for us. And God says, no, not necessarily, because you see, your heart still isn't right. You think that the path to freedom is to be away from God and to do your thing, but the path to true freedom is to relate to the truth of God. You shall know the truth, Jesus said, and the truth shall set you free. There is nobody as free as a person who is not bound by his sin. And so God says to the people, the path to freedom that you think exists leads to bondage. There's a third lie, and for this we're going to actually turn to chapter 6, and that is that the new paths are better than the ancient paths. The ancient paths have to be left behind. By the way, there's so many great verses we're skipping here. In chapter 4, for example, it says in verse 2 and following that the Lord lives, and I'm now actually in verse 3. For thus says the Lord to the men and of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground. You know what that word means? It means the unplowed ground. God describes in Jeremiah the different ways that people have hard hearts. So he's saying, if you want good seed to fall into the soil, you're going to have to break up that unplowed ground that you've allowed to go to seed with weeds, but it does not bear the right fruit. What a lesson for us today. But you'll notice in chapter 6, it says this, thus says the Lord, I'm in verse 16, are you able to keep up with me? I keep giving you the reference. I hope that you are. chapter 6, verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. God says, I set watchmen over you, saying, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we'll not pay attention. Therefore, hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, what will happen to them. Hear, O earth, behold, I am bringing disaster upon this people. I wonder if our nation, the United States of America, hears these words. Last night I was meditating on this message, as I do every Saturday evening. It's amazing how things come together on Saturday evening when you have to preach on Sunday. And it just dawned on me, I thought, where are those points in time when America was at the crossroads? When America had two roads that it could choose from, and at the crossroads, it made the wrong choice. A number came to me, and again, don't be offended, just accept the truth. First of all, I think in 1973, when the Supreme Court said that abortion could be performed for any reason or no reason at all, and I know that there are many to whom I'm speaking here today, I'm sure there are those of you mothers who've had an abortion, and I understand the grief and the anguish. I remember a young woman who said, I don't want to kill my baby, but I get pressure from my boyfriend, I get pressure from my parents. It's a very, very complex thing. But when the Supreme Court said that preborn infants may be killed either in the womb and oftentimes outside of the womb, can you even imagine what this has meant to our country in terms of the value of human life? And of course, we offer to all the forgiveness, the grace, and the cleansing of Christ. But we were at a crossroads, and we took the wrong path. Not the ancient path, not the biblical path. We took a different path. And the results are catastrophic. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. I warned you the other day that these messages would not necessarily be politically correct. But I also want to stress that they are not merely messages exposing sin and judgment, exposing the kind of paganism that we see in America today. But I want to give us hope. And of course, this message was entitled, When Darkness is Light and Light is Darkness, because we live at a time of great confusion where God seems to have blinded the minds of people. And yet at the same time, God has called us to witness. Continue to listen, call your friends, and in a moment, you'll be given information as to how these messages can be yours.
Erwin Lutzer with more of When Darkness is Called Light and Light Darkness. Another message in a series on the Church in Babylon, unleashing the power of a Spirit-filled witness. Next time, Great Deception, then and now. The Church in Babylon is a 10-part series on CD, and we'd like to send you that series as our thank you for a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.